WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, where hundreds of researchers make new discoveries inspired by the work of previous Dana-Farber scientists. Learn more about their momentum at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Move over, Mr. Madoff. There's a new scandal in town, allegedly involving payoffs by investment firms to get business from the big state of New York pension fund. Bribery and money laundering charges have been filed against Stephen Loglisi, a former deputy state controller, and Hank Morris, who was a top political aide to former controller Alan Hevesy. They deny the charges. The Wall Street Journal reports today about so-called finder's fees for state pension contracts paid by Quadrangle, the investment firm of Steven Rattner, President Obama's new car czar, who's trying to rescue the auto industry. No criminal charges have been filed against them, but questions are being asked. At stake is not just the possible sleaze of a few individuals, but the integrity of state pension investment decisions, which could have huge implications for how much state retirees will actually receive and for how all New Yorkers will be taxed to pay for any pension money lost through corruption. So let's dig into this new scandal now with two journalists who are covering it, Peter Latman, Wall Street Journal reporter, and Tom Robbins, columnist for The Village Voice. Tom, Peter, welcome back to WNYC. Hello.
Good morning. Hi.
Tom Robbins, I'll start with you. Tell us more about this 123-count indictment from the state attorney general against Hank Morris and Stephen Loglisi.
Well, let me start with something to save NPR and WNYC a couple million dollars in legal fees. I think it's David Loglisi.
David Loglisi, okay.
David Loglisi is his brother.
Oh.
And so far he's charged with nothing except making a bad movie called Chooch.
Right, okay.
Some of this money.
The movie got some of the money. How did that happen?
Well, according to Andrew Cuomo and the Securities Exchange Commission and the charges that have been filed, one of the ways in which investment firms curried favor with David Loglisi, who's the former chief investment officer of the New York State Retirement Fund, was to invest in a comedy called Chooch, which was produced by his brothers, Stephen, and a couple others. That's one of the smaller numbers involved in that. I mean, this is generally a 7- and 8-figure scandal. I mean, that's one of the things that puts it in back in the Bernie Madoff league. We're talking here about numbers that I've never seen in a political corruption case in New York City.
What kinds of numbers specifically?
Well, the charge right now is that some $35 million in fees were raked off by Morris Loglisi, a guy named Barrett Wissman, who's already pled guilty in this case, and Ray Harding, who was indicted last week, the former head of the Liberal Party, that all of these folks collectively took in at least $35 million in fees that were paid by big investment houses, hedge funds, others, that were eager to be allowed to invest money for the state pension fund.
And Peter Latman, how would this have worked if the charges are true? Out-and-out extortion of bribes to get pension fund management contracts, or a more subtler pay-to-play system?
It's really the latter. So Hank Morris, the former Democratic political advisor, hung up a shingle as a placement agent. And what placement agents do, they're essentially brokers. So they help big private equity funds and hedge funds find money. And where they help them find money from and where the biggest money comes from are public pension funds. So Hank Morris worked with David Loglisi, it's alleged, by the New York Attorney General, where David Loglisi would tell some very prominent firms, such as Carlyle Group and Quadrangle Ratner's firm, Loglisi would say, if you want money from the New York State Pension Fund, you have to retain Hank Morris as a placement agent. These firms then did that, and working with Hank Morris, they received hundreds of millions of dollars from the New York State Pension Fund. And when they received hundreds of millions of dollars, they paid Hank Morris a commission of 1 or 2% on those fees. So just looking at the numbers, if Quadrangle received $100 million from the New York State Pension Fund, which it did, It then paid Hank Morris about $1 million for that fee.
That's the so-called finder's fee.
That's exactly right. And what the government is alleging is that this was a scam devised by Hank Morris and David Leglisi to enrich themselves, and you know, some very prominent private equity firms are now caught up in the crosshairs.
So pay-to-play goes on everywhere, and often in ways that are unfortunately legal. So how much of this might be business as usual that is unfortunate, but that Andrew Cuomo, as a rising star, is now choosing to make a legal issue over? Tom Robbins?
You know, that's a really good question that the defense lawyers in this case are raising effectively. We'll see whether or not he can make it stick. I mean, part of his argument has been that Morris owed what's called a fiduciary duty to the funds because he had such vast control over an influence at the $150 billion state fund. But, you know, the way that I'm not a financial guy like Peter. I mean, but this is simply lobbying writ large is what this is. I mean, these are people who were getting paid in figures that just dwarfed anything that they'd ever seen before in terms of lobbying fees. I wrote about Ray Harding, for instance, who got charged last week, the former political leader who was one of Rudy Giuliani's mentors. And when he was a lobbyist, and back then, you know, if they got $5,000 a month from a client, they were doing pretty good. Ray Harding, according to these charges, got $800,000 for two deals in this. And the allegation is that he did absolutely nothing for it. His name simply was inserted into the deal as a so-called placement agent or finder by Loglisi and Morris, and they allowed him to collect the fees as a payback for political favors. If they can make that case, if they can say that Ray Harding, Morris, these others were actually doing nothing in exchange for the money, I think they've got a pretty good legal argument.
And Peter Lattman, I gather that Ratner's firm, and I want you to tell me where Obama's car czar, Stephen Ratner, really comes into this. You referred to him a minute ago, but Ratner's firm tells the Journal they are cooperating with the investigation and are not a target of the investigation. Can you confirm that?
That is true. And back to your earlier question about, you know, whether what kind of case defense lawyers can make here as to whether these guys are not guilty of any charges, we keep reporting on additional states, public pension funds, where the Quadrangle Group worked with Hank Morris to receive investments. And, you know, that kind of cuts both ways. So if you're Hank Morris's defense lawyer, you say, wait, okay, this wasn't just the case of Hank Morris working with New York officials where he has connections to get investments for his clients. Hank Morris got investments for Quadrangle from a New Mexico public pension fund, the New York City Public Pension Fund, which is different than New York State's, and also a Los Angeles Police and Firemen's Pension Fund. So if you're Hank Morris's defense lawyer, you're saying this was a legitimate business. He was adding value by getting, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars for Steve Ratner's firm.
How would Hank Morris, who is presented here as political aide to Alan Hevesy, who was the New York State Comptroller at the time, how would he have connections with all these other state pension funds and the L.A. Police Pension Fund and all of that?
Well, that's a great question, and that goes to, you know, was this let's assume for a second that the New York State Attorney General's charges are true. What they might paint is a picture of Hank Morris having political connections, not just in New York State, but across the country, and finding, you know, willing public officials that would operate on the take and work with Hank Morris to get investments and then, you know, hold some sort of pay-for-play scheme.
We're talking here on WNYC about the alleged New York State pension fund scandal coming to light in recent days and continuing to develop today, with Peter Lattman covering it for The Wall Street Journal and Tom Robbins covering it for The Village Voice. We can take a few phone calls if you have any questions or maybe some tips about this. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Now, Tom, what are the implications for the pension fund itself? I mean, pensions, like everything else in finance, are under pressure now after losing so much in the market. Did the New York State Pension Fund allegedly make less than optimal investments because they were being controlled by bribes, allegedly, rather than independent investment decisions? Or is this just about that money that rolled off the top on the way to the decisions they would have made about investing the money anyway?
I think it's the latter. They took a piece of the action. I mean, you know, the pension fund took a huge hit, like everybody did in the last year or so. At one point, the New York State Fund was up to close to $170 billion. It hovered around $150 the whole time that these shenanigans were going on. Now it's down to in the 120s. And so far, I haven't heard any good claims that any of these deals that Morris and company brought into them were turkeys. Quadrangle and Carlyle, I mean, Peter's an expert on this, I'm not, but I'm told that they're the Cadillacs of the business, you know, that if you bring these guys in, that they will make money for you. But
yeah.
Which gets me back to the real question here, which is the politics of it. Why in the world is Hank Morris, who doesn't even work at the state comptroller's office, who is the political advisor, why is he in the business of doing business with his own client's funds?
Right. I mean, why is there the position of this middleman at all? Why can't the state comptroller, Alan Hevesy or Tom DiNapoli or anyone else, figure out that Quadrangle or Carlyle or any of these other firms do a professional job and hire them as the money managers?
Yeah, well, in that case, there is a placement agent business that's very legitimate. And here's what looks perhaps particularly scuzzy in the case of Quadrangle Group. So Quadrangle was working with a placement agent named Monument, which is a very legitimate operation, which helps with due diligence and setting up meetings and knowing which public pension funds might be interested in investing with Quadrangle. They had already been working with someone. They sit down with Leglisi, and Leglisi tells Ratner, to get an investment from us, you can't use the Monument Group. You have to use Hank Morris. And Hank Morris, of course, Steve Ratner must know, is this Democratic political advisor without a lot of experience on Wall Street, but nevertheless said, yes, okay, we'll use Hank Morris. So they retained him specifically for this investment. So to Tom's point, you got to wonder, you know, what were they thinking retaining Hank Morris? I mean, did they know that this was, you know, something less than above board?
George in Patterson, you're on WNYC. Hello, George.
George, Brian, good morning. I have a best regard for you, and you have a best subject for corruption in New York. I used to live in New York. I got to ask a question from your guest. If Mr. Cuomo is so concerned about the corruption, why doesn't he go to Mario Cuomo, which sold the whole estate to 10 years of his regime? Why we don't go back all the way up to 20 years, 30 years ago and look at everybody that they did this pension?
Well, Tom Robbins, how about that? How far back does this practice go? Tom, can you hear me? Did we lose Tom?
Yes, I hear you, and I don't know the answer. I mean, I do believe that this particular aspect of the business is relatively recent. Look, I did a series with Jack Newfield back in the late 80s at the Daily News about the former state comptroller, Ned Regan, when we got hold of a memo that was written by his campaign guy at that time that says, those who give campaign contributions will get. And we did a whole series about stories in which the state comptroller at the time had apparently steered business to people who were giving him campaign contributions, which is there's a campaign contribution aspect to this. But the placement agent piece of this is where the big money is being made. And my understanding is that that's a relatively recent phenomenon in which people all of a sudden realize political people who were never in this business before,
yeah.
I wrote about a couple of them last week, realized that they could make the score of their lives if they could get in on these deals simply by introducing somebody they knew to somebody else they knew.
Peter Lapman, with your knowledge of finance, is this a new field, this middleman placement agent business?
It's definitely grown tremendously over the past half decade or so as, you know, the private equity and hedge fund businesses have grown so much and as public pension funds have allocated a greater percentage of assets to those types of investments, right? So way back when, you know, there was KKR and there were Blackstone and there were the pioneers of this business, but it's really mushroomed over the past 5 years or so. And, you know, like Tom's saying, the numbers here are so extraordinary. Just to use another example, you had Carlyle Group getting a $500 million investment from the New York State Pension Fund. Hank Morris was paid a 2% finder's fee for that investment. That's $10 million, you know, 95% of which went in Morris's pocket. I think the other 5% stayed with the firm with which he was affiliated. But those are massive numbers, and like Tom said, you know, far greater than any sort of lobbying graft or anything else we've seen prior to this.
Massive numbers. I mean, for a political consultant like Hank Morris, who's not known to the general public, but is pretty well known in political circles, mainstream Democratic operative, has worked with a lot of candidates.
All over the country.
Yeah, who've won a lot of major elections and lost a lot of major elections, but Carlyle paid Morris $12.3 million in middleman fees, for example. I'm looking at a Daily News version. It's at $12.3 million in middleman fees. That's just from one company over this three-year span. So what to do about it before we run out of time? Andrew Cuomo is proposing some systemic reforms to prevent this kind of thing from happening again. Daily News article today says Cuomo wants to ban the use of all politically connected middlemen who steer pension business to companies willing to pay placement fees, according to knowledgeable sources. It says he would also prohibit companies that donate to the state controller from getting pension business for 2 years. Good idea, Tom?
Yeah, I think, listen, part of the issue here is transparency. I mean, this thing was completely in the dark. Nobody knew who was getting these fees, how these deals were being made. In fact, one of the charges against David Loglisi is that he literally hid the list that included, the only list that existed in the state controller's office, of who the middlemen were and how much they made on these deals. So just to put those numbers out there right now, which the current state controller, Tom DiNapoli, has started to do, is one step forward. But the bigger leap is the question as to whether or not a one-person sole trustee for the huge state pension fund is a good idea. Cuomo is saying that it needs to be expanded. The governor, Patterson, has said that that's something he'll consider. I think that drumbeat is going to grow, and that'll be the most significant reform if it's made.
Well, is the former controller, who is, I guess, the one man you're talking about who's in charge of this massive pension fund, the former controller, Alan Hevesy, himself implicated here? He was controller for about 8 years. He resigned because of a scandal involving using state funds to pay for chauffeurs for his wife, but that, of course, is very, very small potatoes compared to this. Is he implicated here, as far as either of you can tell?
He's not. As you said, he pleaded guilty on another matter, but obviously his hands are all over this. And again, to give you another example, the Carlyle Group, its founder David Rubenstein, who's a D.C. resident, donated tens of thousands of dollars to Alan Hevesy's controller campaign. And you have to ask yourself, what was, you know, I think he's a Maryland resident doing donating all this money to the New York City, you know, the New York State controller. So, you know, Hevesy has not been charged, and he's not a target of this investigation, it seems. But he and his son, Dan Hevesy, have their hands all over this case.
Here is Rebecca in Manhattan, who seems to have an interesting perspective on this. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. I just wanted to make the observation that so much of what goes on Wall Street is about people collecting astronomical fees for relationships and access, especially to investment money. And there's been a lot of talk about the magnitude of it and, the sort of backroom nature of these dealings. But to me, it's not clear how this differs in any way from the normal run-of-the-mill Wall Street activity of paying people for relationships and access.
Peter Latman.
Well, I think she should be a defense attorney if you're already not, because I think you've laid out a sketch of exactly what Hank Morris and David Loglisi's attorneys are going to argue in this case, which is exactly that. This is no different than the, you know, hundreds of millions and trillions of dollars of fees that are paid to Wall Street, who will argue that, you know, one of the things they give and add value is access, and that's what Hank Morris was providing here. So it's a fair point, and it's, one of the things I think that will fall in Hank Morris's favor when this case plays out.
Thank
the
you.
Difference, though, is that this is public money we're talking about here. I mean, there's no question but that these guys were basically mimicking a practice that was widely accepted on Wall Street and in other fields, a kind of pay-to-play where you introduce me to your pal and I make money and I give you a piece. But this is our money, collectively, as taxpayers, that these guys were feasting off of. And I think that gives all of us an interest in saying whether or not these guys get to become millionaires just because they became politicians and they met some other politicians.
And one other possible implication, just posted on our website by a listener in Brooklyn Heights. He says, if it turns out that Stephen Ratner of Quadrangle Group, who arranged for this private equity firm investment, for his private equity firm to pay $1.1 million to obtain New York obtain New York State pension business. If it turns out that he does not play strictly by the rules, it is a serious problem, since Ratner is a close friend of Mayor Michael Bloomberg, and his firm Quadrangle was named by Bloomberg to manage the personal and family foundation assets. Tom Robbins, do you see any implication for Michael Bloomberg here if anything comes of this with respect to Ratner, who, again, at the moment is not apparently a target of the investigation?
Hats off to your listener in Brooklyn Heights. I think that's a very good question to ask the mayor. I mean, look, Steve Ratner has not been charged with anything. It's not been suggested that he's done anything illegal. But, hey, this guy is the one that Mayor Bloomberg did choose to manage both his philanthropic and his corporate money at this point. He's also very close to the New York Times in terms of its finances. He's a key player in Washington. It's going to have implications for everybody. It certainly would be interesting to hear what Mayor Bloomberg has to say about it.
Would this have come to light, Peter, were it not for the financial crisis? I mean, the whole Madoff thing came to light because of the meltdown and people started trying to cash out their funds. Is this a function of that, or would this have come to light anyway?
I think it would have come to light anyway. This investigation started, Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, back in 2007, you know, when things were still humming in the private equity world and in the financial market. So I think, you know, alleged political corruption and graft and pay for play, you know, well predates the financial crisis. So unlike Madoff, which was which did come about because of the crash, this came well before it.
Ryan, it started with every great scandal with a girlfriend. There was a guy in the comptroller's office who spent some money squiring his girlfriend around, and he got caught. And when he got caught, he started to sing. And this is one of the songs that he sang.
Tom Robbins, columnist for The Village Voice. Peter Lapman, Wall Street Journal reporter, singing about the new alleged New York State pension fund corruption scandal. Thank you both very, very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, should fast food restaurants be required to stay two blocks away from a school? We'll talk to a New York City councilman who is advocating that.